It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, and if I have everything said all right, we have Ann and Cynthia in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Ann?
Ann, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. She was reading the Lakeville Journal.
She's
it was
having,
very compelling.
She's having
so
a day like me. She's having a day like me.
We were using Ann as the canary, and for one brief shining moment, we thought, oh, my God.
And we have
the canary.
And we have Janet on the telephone. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Oh, well, please don't ask.
I've heard a bit about how you are, but, we all have those days.
Yes.
Heavy gravity, that's how it is.
I think I'm going to go home and go back to bed. Okay.
Start over. Yeah.
First thing I want to talk about, before we even get to the paper, once again, it's that time of year, and you guys always do a magnificent job for the Salisbury Winter Sports Association by putting out their Jump Fest, section, and it's a huge section in the paper.
It's enormous, and actually, I'm going to let Janet talk about it because she was more involved in the putting together of it, but it's huge, and it shows such great support from the community who all buy ads to support our little ski jumps, and which is extra exciting in an Olympic year. Janet, you want to talk about it?
Sure. I mean, our ski jumps are world-renowned, and they should be, the Eastern State Championships, and it's the 92nd Annual Jump Fest. There's a 48-page program in the Lakeville Journal this week, and it'll be out for free pick up all over the tri-state area as well over the weekend, and it will be at the ski jumps themselves handed out because it has so much great information about Salisbury Winter Sports Association, about the ski jumps themselves, about how they score it, how the jumpers prepare. There's so much in here to really find of interest. And if you haven't been to the ski jumps before, this is the year to do it. And read this first so you know what you're in for. It's so much fun.
And it's just a great section. And, in today's economic times, you would have think from 20 years ago, this section would have gotten smaller.
Right.
It's gotten bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
so
huge.
Much great support from everyone in the tri-state area, congratulating the jumpers and SWASA for pulling it all together. These volunteers from Salisbury Winter Sports work so hard on this program and selling ads and preparing the hill. They've been out there already for a long time getting that hill ready, and they will be over the next 2 weeks until February 9th, 10th, and 11th when Jump Fest occurs, and they'll be out there all weekend that weekend too.
It's absolutely amazing. All right, well, let's go on to the paper here, and my goodness gracious, lots of color on the front page.
At a dark, colorless time of year, we're trying to keep everybody a little upbeat.
It's nice to have. Yeah. I mean, it goes from ice fishing to basketball to Elizabeth Esty standing in the freezing
green.
Cold.
That's right. A nice photo by Ann Day. She showed up with a pink scarf and a
poochy
green, a Lily Pulitzer green jacket. So ice fishing, I can't quite figure out if the ice is safe or not, but I guess it is because there's Aiden Trinisky, photographed by his mother, the very talented Melissa Roth Trinisky. And they are, as a family, that's their thing. They go out on the ice fish every winter, and they don't like to disclose where they were, but they were somewhere in Salisbury, and he caught a little fish, a big fish, 4.5 pound.
A big bat. Fish, yeah.
All right, and in between the picture of the fishing and the basketball playing is the major, really, story of the week, and that is concern over the grading system at Housatonic Valley Regional High School.
So this has been going back and forth for, I'd say, a week, and what we had first heard, and Marshall, actually, I would say, is reporting very nicely on this. What we had first heard was that there were student athletes who were being eliminated from extracurriculars because of concerns about their grades. This stems from the new grading system that was implemented among some controversy over the past year by the new superintendent, Pam Vogel. And I would say there has never been that much of a meeting of the minds about it, and it seems to have reached a head at this moment. And one concern is that Housatonic has always functioned as a place where they wanted to make it a welcoming place for every student, where extracurriculars were really as important as academics, because there were some kids who were just not going to be great in math, or they were not going to be great academically, but they were going to come to that school and they were going to finish high school because they really wanted to play basketball, or they really liked the camaraderie of the football team or the robotics team or the ag program. And that's been a great way to move these students through high school and help them get on to their future lives. And there used to be that incredible evening high school program run by Frank Rotolo, the late Frank Rotolo, where he would really like literally drive to kids' houses and get them out to class. And every time you would go to one of these high school evening school graduations, the kids would say, you know what? If I had known how hard it was going to be to do night school, I would have stayed in high school. So the more that you can do to keep these kids in high school and move them through, the better it is for them. So when you start to eliminate them from their extracurriculars, that's problematic. So what's happened subsequently, and Patrick Whitney spoke to the administration there, and what they're saying is it's a complexity and a misunderstanding in how the grades are being presented. And Marshall, you can talk about this if you want, but I would say
the reason I got involved in this story, and I did get involved in the story big time, is when I went to Housatonic Valley Regional High School, I worked 70% of the time but had grades in every subject of 80 to 85, except for one. 2 years in a row, algebra and geometry.
Yeah.
I had trouble with those.
I feel you.
Terrible trouble. And I flunked them each year the first time. But the second year I took them, And the care and the guidance I got from Everett Draper and Keith Bond to get me through, because they knew it wasn't because I wasn't, for some reason, I just had a block in it. The care they used in getting me through that, so I graduated with a great grade. Besides those, I got a 65 in both those grades the second year. They worked with me in study hall and everything to get me through those second years. So when I saw the email come from the athletic director, and she said, not due to their grades, due to a change in the grade system.
Well, at that moment, they hadn't completed all their work. Yeah. And so it was a warning note to parents saying, your kids need to get their work turned in, because at the moment they're facing an incomplete. And if they do that, then they're going
to
be...
Due to the grading system.
So, I think that the benevolence behind this new system is they do intend it to be more supportive. And what they're trying to say is, we don't want kids getting passed through automatically. We want to keep them here until they learn the subject matter. But there seems to be some friction in the implementation of it.
Well, if you go back a year, the friction was teachers weren't consulted about the setup, and parents and teachers both thought that the program was being implemented too quickly. And that really is what has happened. A quick implementation. There's a lot of snow days. There's a lot of teachers' days where they go for seminars. Kids, once they get a not proficient, they don't have time to make it up.
Especially if they're seniors or juniors applying for college.
So what has happened is what everybody thought was going to happen. It's being implemented too quickly. There's some local people that are very involved in this, and this is not a bad system. If it's implemented correctly over the course of several years, it's a great system. What I fear now that it's been implemented wrong and parents already have a bad taste, that it's going to be hard to keep it in. I think that they can work at it, but it's the problem was it was just implemented too quickly, and for some reason the teachers weren't involved in the setup.
Although teachers are available today. The entire faculty is meeting with students in a couple of open blocks just to hear student concerns. And they're actually very specific in the memo they sent out saying, we're not debating the system today, but we want to hear what you have to say, which I think actually is good. And it gives the impression, at least, that the faculty is trying to support this.
So. I don't think there's any question about it, but it'll get worked out. But, you know, the students right now are taking the brunt of the failure, and that's just wrong.
Yeah.
That's wrong. That's all.
Okay.
All right. Now let's get on to a cold-looking Elizabeth Esty. And why was she?
Why was she cold? Why didn't she?
It wasn't actually that cold that day.
No, she really wasn't.
Oh, she looks at the 100.
She was 40.
Yeah, she's bracing herself for the upcoming. So Elizabeth Esty had contacted us, and we really appreciated it when our representatives in Washington call us up, and they just wanted to chat. So she said, let's get together. I'm in the area. I'd like to just update you on what I'm doing. She's always extremely pleasant to talk to. She's lively. She's smart. She's open. She listens to our questions. She responds to them. So we had a lovely meeting with her, and I would say, unfortunately, that everything that we think is happening that's bad is happening. So, she, you know, she sort of confirmed things are not that great in Washington, but she's still fighting the good. And I have to say, I was a little worried she was going to say, you know, a lot of people are retiring because it's just too hard for them, which I kind of feel like, well, who's going to stay there and fight? But she did not say she's going to retire. She seems committed to staying and fighting for us and for what's right. So I felt good about that. And we had a nice visit. And Ann Day took a beautiful photo of her. And thank you, Ann Day.
And Patrick wrote a great article about it. You know, she's on a bipartisan group as well, and so was able to give us a rounded view of what's happening.
You know what's great about both Elizabeth Esty and Brian Oler? They are in our region a lot.
Yes.
And they are not campaigning.
No.
They are listening.
That's exactly right.
And we're so lucky because we had that with Roberta Willis and Andrew Rohrbach before that. We are extremely lucky with the people that are that represent us. They don't come here for campaign swings. They come here to listen.
Yeah. You can't go out without tripping over Brian.
No.
He's everywhere.
Or
he's
really,
the best.
Or really, Elizabeth Esty, for being in Washington like she is, she's here a lot.
Her schedule is stunning.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I give them so much credit. So much credit.
And speaking of our legislators.
That's right.
We have updates from Shaw Isaacson and Patrick Sullivan. Patrick spoke to Brian, who is, in addition to being incredibly busy, is very accessible, and Craig Miner. And Shaw spoke to
Jake Case
and Kevin Witkos. And I would say, you know, it's hard. We feel like it was such a brutal budget season last year, and it's starting up again. And here we are. We're coasting right into budget season. So, of course, that's the main concern about this short session that we have coming up in Hartford. The session begins February 7th. And mostly it's going to be about the budget, which is, of course, mostly what the short session is about. But it's. I would say this is not the most bleak year. It's like reading tea leaves a little bit when you talk to these guys. It's not the bleakest year that we've had in terms of their expectations for the coming year.
I think what's great about that is because it's been
so bad.
It's been bigger before.
Yeah, they've done a lot of the work, but boy.
So it's just the way it is. We're used to this now here in Connecticut.
Yes. And Patrick this morning actually is at the annual legislative breakfast with the COG out in Goshen. So he'll come back and we'll have a story for next week on sort of some of their prioritized concerns for our legislators moving forward.
All right. On the inside.
Before you go. Oh. The wonderful photo by Savage Freeze of the Northwest Regional Seven Girls. And actually, at the last minute, we had an influx of late news, and we had to hold the girls' basketball story. But we have the boys' basketball story. Northwest Regional 7 has two fantastic teams, and we're very excited to be covering them.
All right. We'll move on to the inside. A story out of Kent that ice will stick around for a while, even though it is breaking up exactly like everybody wanted it to.
It's stunning. When you drive around the northwest corner, I had to go to Avon yesterday, actually in Lime Rock, just past Janet's house on the way to her office. Everywhere you go, there are on the sides of rivers and creeks these gigantic heath bar blocks of ice where you see the coating of snow on the top and like 3 or 4 inches of ice just that must have just washed up. And it makes you realize how powerful that water is, that it's pushing these – like you couldn't lift those things with a backhoe, pushing them up on the side of the rivers. It's starting to break up in Kent. There are still big chunks of ice everywhere. They're going to hopefully melt. I think we have some warmish weather coming up in the next couple of weeks. But the roads are open again in Route 7, and we'll hope for no more flooding.
All right. Down below that, you've got a couple of stories out of Winsted. Some regrets, but mostly kudos for the town manager, and there's music. And
For those of us who haven't really been following Winsted, now that, of course, we're covering it for the Lakeville Journal, it's a very interesting town, and the way that they function is slightly different. They have a 7-person board of selectmen, they have a mayor, they have a town manager, and we'd always heard about this guy, Robert Geiger, who's really stuck it out with that town, where it's not always easy. So they had a nice evaluation for him, and I said to Shaw, our reporter, can you get a photo of him? And we'd never seen his photo before. So it's very interesting. He's got a wonderful, expressive face. And a new music store in, it's called Mad River Music in Winsted. And kind of nice, you know, saying, is a father and son business. And they're saying, you know, everybody's sort of trapped in their interest in their devices, here's a chance for people to get out, come to the store. We have jam sessions. You can learn a new instrument. You know, get your kids learning instruments at a young age. And I think that's kind of neat.
Yeah, we were lucky when I was a kid. I got taught by Phil Garavoy, but we had a music store in Torrington. We had two music. I mean, you,
yeah, right.
And but schools, you know, and schools would get you used instruments as well.
But right, it's also happening again. People are just getting out there and starting to do it.
They jam.
Wonderful.
Yeah, great. Garage Band.
All
use
right.
Your phone.
I got a story on page A4. There's Tara Nugent. She had the opening of her art show at Housatonic Valley Regional High School.
A wonderful show that's ongoing. Alumni have the opportunity to show their work there. And I think you used to work with Tara, didn't you? Was she here?
She works with me now.
Yeah. So nice to see young people having meaningful work that they can do and a meaningful place to show their work after they leave high school.
And then out of Kent, one step at a time, one day at a time.
And of course, you know, this is Appalachian Trail Central, and that's normally a story we do again and again in summer. It's endlessly interesting, but there's a guy who used to work in the prison system with the state police and also with the canines, and his name was Sam Ducharme, wonderfully named. And he went, his kids moved out, you know, he was an empty nester, he was done, he retired from the state police, and he thought, what am I going to do with myself now? So he went out and decided to just go hike the trail, and it changed his life. And he's now traveling the country doing talks about his walk. And he still drives up and down the length of the trail in his pickup truck, offering trail magic, which, as people know, is, you know, everything from free water to barbecues to extra pairs of shoes. So an interesting talk about what the Appalachian Trail meant for him.
All right, and good luck to Shaw with this story. The Yankee Town meeting explained, if you're not from the Northeast, you have no idea.
It's so fascinating. I remember moving here from the Midwest in New York City and being like, wow, this is the most interesting thing ever. It reminds you of the old Bob Newhart shows when he was living in Vermont. But Susan Clark wrote a book about it, and really reminding people, this is a very special thing that we have here, this town meeting. We are the legislators. Our vote is what makes the laws in our towns, and people need to pay attention. And there's a staggering of the town meetings. They don't all happen on the same time. Some of them are still coming up. And I think Kent just had theirs. They share their town report. Salisbury's is coming up this week, or February 7th, I think, is their town meeting. And as always, the town report will be dedicated to a very special person. And that information is embargoed until the meeting.
All right, I want to go on to the next page because you've got Jump Fest and also the Northwest Seven boys. They've always had great basketball teams, especially the girls at Northwest.
Yes, and it's nice when you see a team that has too many players. They're having a hard time getting everybody some court time, but Regional Seven doing fantastic. And, of course, we will run our story updated next week about the young lady basketball players. Really fierce and amazing photos from Lance Christensen. And speaking of amazing photos, Savage Freeze from the basketball. And speaking of amazing photos, we have Lance Christensen. We're very lucky to have him working for the Lakeville Journal, a former Gourmet magazine photographer who is also quite outdoorsy, and it turns out is friends with Larry Stone, who is the jumping guru and comes back every year for Jump Fest, even though he is a jumping coach up at Lake Placid, which is one of the premier jumping venues in the United States. And Lance went out, took some photos of the snowmaking, which is a huge step forward for the ski jump people. They no longer have to pick up shaved ice from the local ice rinks. And he's got a little preview on who to watch at this year's Jump Fest.
All right, very quickly. Wow, Alan Beers, Richard Carley, Chad Malarchuk.
Yeah.
It's been a horrible week. I mean, I remember Dick Carley when I was a kid. I was used to have American Legion basketball programs. Dick and Tuck Cunningham would referee, and Chad, of course, everybody loved Chad from Hillsdale down into our area.
Yes,
and Alan Beers is a lifelong fixture in Falls Village. I mean, wow.
Fascinating lives, worth reading, and
all
sad
right.
losses.
On the editorial page, open, closed, open, closed.
Open. I'm tempted not to even talk about it so people can guess what it's about and read the editorial, but it has to do with the town of Kent and Route 7 south of there and the battles they've been waging against the Housatonic River as it's been flooding with the ice jam. And so this has been going on for a while. It is still going on. It is not, you know, completely ameliorated, and it's necessary for us to talk about it, for all of our readers to appreciate what they've been going through there, to appreciate what our state representative Brian Oler has been doing, along with, of course, First Selectman Bruce Adams and all his support staff there, just out all the time communicating what's happening, doing a fantastic job of just telling the population what is happening, when, and what they think we can expect. You know, it's nature, and they can't predict everything, but remember that the center of town is open. It is south of town that has the issues, and these folks need our support and have had a pretty rough January.
All right, I like the independent investor. All hail the rise of the smoothie.
That's right. We thought this was a really good one to have at the end of January, beginning of February. You know, we're all sort of tired of the heavy winter food, except when it comes to Super Bowl time, of course. Everybody will be making that. But the smoothie is a great way to have something light. And Bill talks about the finances of the rise of the smoothie, as well as the health benefits.
All right, and on the Viewpoint page, you've got Peter Riva, Dark Side of a Free Viral Meter, and once again, Peter Steiner with a great cartoon.
That's right. We're very fortunate to have Peter Steiner drawing his cartoons for us. Every week he has a unique thought, and we invite our readers to take a look and let us know what you think of them. And we also have guest commentary from Martha Miller on taxes. So much for filing your taxes on a postcard. Read on.
Well, you know what? I just gave up, and I just take the regular deduction. I gave up. And people say, oh, you're losing money. Now, at this point, I don't care.
Well, yeah, because you have to think about your mental health at the same time, you know? It's like, what's the balance?
I just don't care. At 65, so keep the money already.
That's right. You win. You win. But Martha is going to do a series for us, and is, you know, she's a tax attorney in Lime Rock, very knowledgeable, really studies all of this stuff that we may not even want to look at as we're worrying about our taxes. So she really does break it down and make it simple, and it'll be helpful. So do read this series.
All right. I want to move on, because we only have about 2.5 minutes left, to a colorful compass. And get close to that mic.
Okay. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
yes, we have Alan Blagden. Many people know Alan. He's a local, very talented painter. And he has done his first book. It's a coffee table book that's been published by David R. Godin in Boston. It's a beautiful book, and he's presenting at the Oblong series at the White Hart a week from tonight. So he's basically going to talk about his life and his work and show some of his work at the show, and everybody should go. and then we have a story about winter gardening, which I think is very funny and charming. It's about how you look at your garden in a new way when you think of it as material to put into a big empty pot. So you can just wander around your garden and break off dead branches, and suddenly they take on a life of their own. And this story suggests things that work and things that don't. And basically, it's a way to cheer yourself up, and also a way to feed the birds. Birds love these little winter container gardens. We have a wonderful story by Chelsea Edgar about a secret film society, which is now not secret anymore. it's a group of people who get together and watch films at different venues. And it's called the Boondocks Film Society. And according to Chelsea, it's great entertainment for those people under 40. Although I think she said it would be okay if you were over 40 to go to one of these events.
All right, we have about 30 seconds left.
And that's it. And we have a review of the new show at the Wasaic Project in Wasaic.
and a great calendar. There are still things to do.
Lots of stuff in the calendar for this weekend.
All right. That's all in the Lakeville Journal, tricornernews.com on the web, and also on Facebook. We'll see you all next week.
Thank you so much.
Happy February.
All right. That's right, next month.
Oh, rabbit, everybody.
That's right. All right. That's going to wrap up this week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robinhood Radio.